Good evening, everyone. We thank God for the prayer meeting this evening. So the devotion is entitled, Worldly Friendship is Fatal. So thank God we can read the passage from James 4, verses 1 to 4, and I'll read to you. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, and ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I think people will be asking, what could be the possible types of worldly friendship that are pursued by Christians today? I cannot name all of them, but maybe we can consider a few. For example, we may adopt some worldly values, and then we pursue worldly pleasures, thinking that fun, comfort, entertainment are key most important factors in our lives. For example, you might think that it's important for us to have a cafeteria in a church, or occasionally there should be movie screening or rock music in our worship. Or maybe we could have this consumerism mindset, thinking that how can we please our worshippers so that they'll come to church, rather than to think how can please God. Or maybe we might even introduce boardroom politics in our discussion due to pride and a quest for eminence. So this evening, we're going to consider some of the causes for having this friendship with the world. All right. So from the passage we read that in verse 1, James attributed that to the word lust. So in Greek, it's hedonon, or we get the English word hedonism. And we know that hedonism means pleasures of life or worldliness. And we also know that there was a well-known Greek philosopher, Epicurus. He introduced and promoted this philosophy about the BC 300. This is a philosophy of pursuit for material comfort. And that's the reason why we have this term called Epicureanism. Okay? You can see from the slide over here, which is in a simple manner, it means it's a devotion to indulgence, pleasure, and high living. You know that in Acts chapter 17, verse 18, in fact, Paul had a debate with the Epicureans in Athens, and that was about 1st century AD, right? You know that so since then, BC 300 to the time of Romans, for 300 years, people have been pursuing this philosophy. And we also know that this spirit is very much alive today. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 19, Jesus taught the parable of a foolish rich man and his barns. I think we all know that parable quite well. He cited the worldly teaching by Epicurus, which is, eat, drink, and be merry. In fact, the full version is, for tomorrow we die. We know it was a prevalent thinking at that point of time, and you will definitely still agree that it's still a thinking adopted by many today. So if we have this kind of thinking, what would be the symptoms that we will experience in our life today? So James listed for us, there'll be wars and fightings. We're referring to open conflict, public disputes, hatred. And in fact, James said EQ, which is in verse 2. We're talking about scheming. We're talking about forming cliques and partisan spirit and division, having wars and fightings. A second symptom will be that we desire to have and cannot obtain. That's in verse 2. There'll be greed and covetousness. And there'll be, because we cannot obtain, there'll be anguish, there'll be mental and emotional stress, seeking for what you cannot obtain. Perhaps this, like the, just like the early Spanish explorers who were looking for the elusive gold in El Dorado. And the third symptom I'd like to share with you is unhappiness and disappointment. Because of this worldly lust that's in reading us, we ask amiss, ask and receive not, we'll lack the blessings and the grace from the Lord, and there'll be constant trauma due to this lack of blessings. Let us consider what James also taught us about the impact you have a worldly friendship. And to the Lord, this is considered as a spiritual adultery. Okay, we talk about adultery, we talk about it's a betrayer, it's a disloyalty, right? Unfaithfulness. It's a broken promise. So friendship with the world is enmity with God, and this worldly friendship is fatal. And God will resist the proud, and this is part of the punishment molding to bring us in submission to His will, back to His way. I also want to just share with you some of the verses. There was in the second part of the passage on James chapter 4. And James did not just talk there about rebuking the people who are seeking worldly friendship, but James also gave the steps of restoration. In fact, James said that in verse 7, we should submit to God. We talk about submission, we talk about submit to God means a full surrender, it's a full embrace of God. Only then will you be able to resist the devil. Only then are you able to distinguish secular thinking and ways from what is spiritual, tell the right from the wrong. Only then can we truly resist, draw strength from the Lord and submit to Him and follow His way. So James said that we must submit to God and follow Him. And James said also in verse 8, we must also draw nigh to God, draw nigh to Him. Then draw nigh in verse 8, and draw nigh to God in sanctification. We must be sensitive to our sins, confess to God, come to a holy God in repentance. We're talking about in sanctification, cleanse our hands and purify our hearts and curb our spirit if we have been proud and boastful, drawing away ourselves from the Lord. And in verse 10, James said that we should humble ourselves before the Lord in verse 10, right? So again, so we humble ourselves, there's humility before God and before man. We will stay away from pride, self-love, self-eminence, and only living for Jesus alone. In fact, I wish to conclude here by saying that when we told the Lord we will follow Him, it must be unconditional. It is not to follow Him and also the world secretly. If you are a Christian, it means you are a follower of Christ. You are an imitator of Christ. It must be like Jesus. Okay? If you call yourself a Christian, right? Follower, imitator of Christ. Then we look to Jesus and not to the world. We follow Him in full surrender. The Lord told us in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So we always look forward, looking to Jesus. We never look back. So with that, I want to bring to the last slide that I have for this evening. Okay, this is something I picked up from the Google, and it's talking about the story of this man. This man was an Indian who lived about 150 years ago. He came from the Garo tribe in Assam, India. Assam is a state the northeast of India, somewhere near to Bhutan, near to Myanmar, okay? And near to Bangladesh. So 150 years ago, due to the evangelistic work of the Welsh missionaries, at the point of time they came to India, went to this part of India, and they preached the gospel to the people there in this tribe. And touched by the Spirit, many villagers became converts and believers. And this is one of them. So the story about one man and his family. So this man, touched by the Spirit, he shared his newfound faith and converted many other villagers, hence incurring the wrath of the village chief. One day, he was called to a village town square to renounce his faith. The village chief was angry with him and threatened to kill him and his family if he didn't do so. He stood firm and said, I've decided to follow Jesus. And with that, they shot the arrows and killed his two young sons. And when asked again to renounce his faith, he said, even no one joins me, I will still follow him. With that, they shot and killed his wife. Finally, when asked again, he said, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. With that, they shot him and killed him. Now with his death, it created an impact on the village chief. He was puzzled by the faith and unwavering devotion to a man who died 2,000 years ago. A man claimed to be dead, yet rose again. A man who is coming to rule the world, a man who has such a strong claim over the family, over this man. There must be something special, and now he wants to know this man too. When convicted by the Spirit, the village chief said, I'm now a believer. And the rest of the villagers were with him, shouted together and said, they will follow him as well. So that day, the village was converted by the Lord's working. And this is the story of Nok Seng, the man, the villager who died for Jesus and uttered those words of faith. The words were rearranged and fitted into a tune of an Indian song by the Indian missionary Sadhu Sundar Singh. Some of you may have known about the story of Sadhu Sundar Singh, missionary in India. And today with this song, No Turning Back, or I've Decided to Follow Jesus. So maybe like Nok Seng, look to Jesus and not to the world. Follow Him in full surrender with no turning back. So may the Lord bless and help us. Come, let us pray. Father God, we thank Thee for Your reminder that we should always love Thee and to follow You all the way in our life. We pray, O God, that you will continue to love you with all our hearts, our mind, and our soul, that with the world behind us and the cross before us, we follow you faithfully unto the end. Help us, O God, as we pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.